I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. On today's show, I'll speak with Andrew Doyle with Junior University Musical Theater in San Bernardino. He's the director of JU's summer performances of Robin Hood. Junior University began in 1962 as a children's summer activity in a backyard and grew to what it is today, a full theater musical program that runs for 2 weeks in the summer. Then I'm off to a thrift shop to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the Assistance League of Temecula Valley. I spoke with Temecula Chapter President Denise Lanier and League member Linda Smith to find out what the Assistance League does to raise money for their philanthropic programs. My conversations with Andrew Doyle and the Assistance League of Temecula Valley are coming up next, right after the NPR newscast. This is Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. My guest is Andrew Doyle. He is the director of Junior University's Robin Hood. Welcome to Lifestyles.
Thank you.
This is the first summer that Junior University will present their production at Aquinas High School. In the past, many of the stories that were performed at Junior University over the decades were written by William Dixon. Is that the case for this year, or is it something different?
Unfortunately not this year. We were unable to make that transition happen in such a short time. One of the wonderful things that William R. Dixon brought to the way that he wrote and presented a show was that beautiful 26-piece orchestra that audiences could expect every summer. And one of the transition challenges has been figuring out a way to get that size of an orchestra into the new facility. And on this short turnaround, we weren't really able to make that work. We are, however, presenting a version of Robin Hood that was written by a Junior University alum and a local theater practitioner herself, Miss Bethany Schwarzkopf.
And what is her background, and what has she written in the past, or just her version of it?
Yes, Robin Hood, as everybody should be familiar with him, based a little more on the novelization and her own adaptation. She originally wrote it for Lifehouse Theater, and they've been kind enough to work with us on putting that production up this summer. Her family has a long connection with Junior University. I believe her parents met there. It's been, you know, a great family story for them as well. And she's continued to do theater in the local area.
Okay, so it's going to be her version. You are not going to have an orchestra in the pit. I've never been to the Performing Arts Center, so I don't even know if there is a pit. So what will you be using for music? It'll be canned music, or how will it be played out?
So the music this year, it is canned or pre-recorded, which has been a bit of a change for us, but it's something that we're trying with the new Performing Arts Center. We're adjusting to how our production is presented as much as to the new space. And so it's been something that we're kind of trying for this year, and we'll see how it goes, although we do have a soft spot in our hearts for that live music.
Right, so this is kind of a trial run this summer, and you do know you're going to do Robin Hood, and you have, I assume, started rehearsals as the production performances must be coming up fairly soon.
Yeah, we are well into our rehearsals at this point. We've got a lot of work into it. We still have a little ways to go, but as far as we can tell, everything's coming along on schedule.
Now, have you been part of the entire process from the auditions to casting to the rehearsals?
Yes.
And when did the auditions take place? And for the auditions, is it individuals and youngsters from the Inland Empire, or can you tell me a little bit about that scenario?
So our auditions are usually the first couple of weekends in May. Mm-hmm. We did May 11th this year was our audition date, and then we had callbacks on the 18th, and that's pretty typical for the JU schedule each summer. We invite youngsters, kids and teens, and even some adults from all over the Inland Empire to come and audition for our productions. We have some individual audition times where they'll come and sing a song for us, and then if we like what we see in that song, we'll invite them to callbacks. And at callbacks, what they can typically expect is the opportunity to learn a short dance number that they will then perform in small groups, and then do perhaps some assigned singing from the show and some line reading from the script as well.
the show? Is it a two-hour performance? Is it shorter, longer? Tell me a little bit about the show itself.
Sure. The show itself is a little above 2 hours right now, and we'll see how that changes as we get closer to showtime. But it's in two acts with an intermission in the middle. It's full of a lot of fun songs and really sweet moments between the characters, as well as plenty of action and adventure and a little bit of comedy in between Robin and the Sheriff of Nottingham, Prince John, and all of those characters that you know and love from Robin Hood.
So it is definitely kid-friendly. What age group do you feel is appropriate to come to the theater and participate in this?
Oh, we invite families, children, all the way through, adults. It's really just great family entertainment. We have kids in our cast, I think as young as 8 this year. With that in mind, we really try and present a show that is going to be entertaining for people of all ages. It's going to be memorable, and it's going to be above all fun.
My guest is Andrew Doyle. He is the director of this year's Junior University's production of Robin Hood. How long have you been involved with JU? Is this your first year?
This is my first year as the director, but okay. I have been involved in JU for 20 years this year. I started in 1999.
What have you done? What have you partaken in those 20 years?
So I started, obviously, as a young actor. I believe the first show was Tom Sawyer. Mm-hmm. I got to paint that fence. roles after that, I continued to act all the way through high school and into college, playing characters like Huckleberry Finn or the Mad Hatter. And then as I got into college, I took an interest in directing, where I apprenticed the director, Paul Reed, actually, mm-hmm. For 1 year. And I helped around backstage and really started to get my hands on every aspect of the production, which is a wonderful thing that Junior University allows for its participants to be able to take part in, is every aspect of the theater production, whether that's backstage or technical or acting on the stage.
Right, so they kind of get a well-rounded look at what theater performance is. And it's not just the actors on stage, it's behind the stage, it's the scenery, it's the music, it's so much. And so maybe someone listening that loves the theater but really doesn't want to go on stage, there's so much more to learn.
Absolutely. There are tons of things, like we say, backstage or helping make costumes or props. All of these little things that that help the show to go on and can support, our young actors as they're the ones that are on stage. But there's probably twice as many people working backstage constantly to support what they're doing and what they see.
Since you've had so many years with JU, how has the transition leaving Roosevelt Paris Hill Park, leaving that venue and going to Aquinas High School, the Performing Arts Center, how was that transition? It's kind of a trial and error. Where are you on that?
It's been a lot of trial and error. A lot of it comes down to the fact that JU had been at Roosevelt Bowl in Paris Hill Park for some 55 years,
yeah.
Which is a long time.
Right.
And so that's most people's memory of JU is there. The transition has been big because at the Bowl, we would have to build essentially the theater every summer. If you go to the Bowl these days, you'll see that it's really just benches and a concrete stage, and there's not much more than that. And so we would have to bring in the stage floor and all of the sets and all of the backstage equipment and the lighting and the sound, and really put up the entire thing every summer.
Right.
One change going to the new space at Aquinas is that all of those things are there and taken care of for us. It's relearning, I suppose, what it means to put on a show within that space and all of the intricacies of, this new theater as opposed to what we've been doing for such a long time.
Well, it must be kind of nice to have the Performing Arts Center available to you to use. What is its capacity seating-wise?
It seats about 350, which is a little smaller than the Bowl.
Right.
But it's air-conditioned, which during the summer is quite nice. And it does give us a lot of other opportunities to do things like a matinee show, which an outdoor bowl facility doesn't allow us to do.
Right, so you did pick up some positive things for sure. I'm sure it was hard tradition to leave Paris Hill Park, but it sounds like things might end up just fine over there at Aquinas High School Performing Arts Center.
Yes, of course. We've got a lot of high hopes for it. And, you know, like I say, this is it's a new opportunity for us, and it's a new challenge to be able to present some theater in new ways and really explore, you know, this new theater that will allow us to have some different options as far as scenery and sets and lighting, and really do some different things, you know, like adding some more shows on the weekends and some matinees, so that we don't have to be, you know, out and about for, you know, all hours of the night.
That's nice. Let me just ask you, because junior university has been going on, I mean, I used to go as a young teenager. Do any of the other performers or actors or people that have been involved ever come back, or have they gone on to other venues and never come back to JU just to maybe check it out or perform again? Do you know any of the back history of performers?
Sure. So we have a number of performers historically from JU who have gone on to great things. We have a lot of performers who have made it their lifestyle. You know, a number of them have gone on to Broadway and theater in New York. Some of them have stayed more local, doing performances around Southern California. And we've even had a handful who have gone into the music industry or other performance-related industries, you know, whether that be working for the theme parks or anything like that. And a lot of them do come back. We host what we call an alumni night every summer. And we invite, you know, those who have been a part of JU in the past to come and see the theater and see, you know, what the new generation is doing and what kind of performances we're still putting on.
So it remains kind of a springboard for those that are theatrical-minded and would like to go on to be performers or be in the theater in some capacity.
There are so many talented and very knowledgeable people around JU who have been doing it for a long time. And part of what the goal of the organization is to be able to share that knowledge with young people, to be able to share those experiences and provide those opportunities that, you know, some of them have been able to have, and hoping that, you know, yeah, if they have an interest in things in the performance industry or theater in particular, that this can be a place where they can learn and try some of those things out and then go off to do wonderful things elsewhere.
Well, that's terrific. So if listeners would like to attend the performances, what are the run dates and where do they go for more information?
They can always go online to the website. It is junioruniversity.org. And the run dates for this show are going to be July 19th through August 4th. And we'll be dark on Mondays and Tuesdays, but we'll have some matinees on the weekends as well.
Well, great. I wish you a great season. Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
To learn more about Junior University, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. After a quick break, I'll speak with Denise Lanier, president of the Assistance League of Temecula Valley. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. The Assistance League is a national organization. We have many chapters here in the Inland Empire. They raise money in a variety of ways to support children and families in need. Rancho Cucamonga has a Christmas gala. San Bernardino has the signature headdress ball. Redlands has a tea, and Temecula has a thrift store. I attended the 30th year anniversary ribbon cutting of the Temecula Valley chapter at the Assistance League thrift store. At the ceremony, they acknowledged past presidents, volunteers over the past 30 years, and the women who helped start it all. I spoke with Denise Lanier, president of the Assistance League of Temecula Valley. She talked about the many programs the league supports. I heard your speech, but beyond thanking all those people, you mentioned that you have 9 philanthropics. Can you share what they are, what you're really supporting?
Well, we have our foster youth program. We have Operation School Bell. We have Save Our Students, Chapters for Children, Scholarships. We have Bear Hug. Oh, and Shades, Financial Literacy.
Can you break some of those down, what they are?
Well, Bear Hug, we give bears to our emergency room, little kids that come into the emergency room for treatment. They can take the bear and take it in if they need x-rays. It goes with them to give them comfort each time they're there. Operation School Bell is the one where we give students $125 each to spend at either a Target or a Kohl's store for new school clothing. Foster youth, that is where when children are taken from their home and placed in foster care, we provide a duffel bag that gives them a week's worth of clothing along with shoes, a blanket, and a toy usually. Community outreach is a one-time emergency assistance where we'll help them with a bill. Let's say their power is being shut off. We help them with that. We have nonprofit partnership where we allow other nonprofits to use our meeting room right here in the chapter house free of charge. Most of the time, they do give us an annual donation for the room. We gave out $55,000 worth of scholarships this year to graduating seniors, right up there with Pechanga. Chapters for Children is a one-time event each year at Camp Pendleton, where we dress military children with jeans and tops, hygiene kits, underwear, socks, and they get a gift card for shoes. And we dress right around 800 every year at Camp Pendleton.
Wow, you guys are doing a lot. How do you support that? Is it the thrift store, the money you raise through the thrift store, or how do you bring in the money to pay for all those things?
It is, the thrift store is our main fundraiser. And then we also get grants that we do have a grant writer that helps us with that. And that's a big boost for the money we bring in. We used to do galas for our fundraisers, and now we found that this is more efficient. There were so many man hours put into a gala, and then you never quite knew what you would bring in, whereas with a grant, you really do kind of know, and that's made a huge impact on the money we have to spend. I mean, we hit new records in every program we did this year.
Linda Smith is a league member and the thrift shop manager. We chatted while in the thrift store and while I was browsing through the shop's boutique.
It is a fabulous place to work. The people that work here are so dedicated and so ambitious. It's so nice to have wonderful people to work with. And the community, we outreach to everybody. And I think we help a lot. We've closed over 2,000 kids this year. And we do have a lot of different philanthropic messages that we try to get across.
And how has the thrift store changed from what it first started to what it is today?
Well, it's like the room we're standing in right now, which you can't see because you're on the radio, but this was a storage room. And that, the boutique was right up front. Things have changed so much. We have so many more people. We help more people. We get so many donations. I mean, we thought we got a lot back in those days. Nothing compared to what we get now. So that's what makes the shops run so well.
So the boutique is what we're standing in, and it's very nice. Do you enjoy working more in the boutique or throughout the store?
Well, because I'm store manager, I work in the whole store. But for 10 years, I've been the Christmas lady. And I have the Christmas room in the back, and that's, well, all I did was Christmas. And been doing different things, but I enjoy the entire store. So
now, are people paid? Are they paid employees, or are they volunteers?
Everybody's a volunteer.
So when you're here, how many hours a week you're volunteering your entire time?
Right now, probably around 15 20 hours, depending on the week, because I just took this job over 2 weeks ago. And so I'll be weaning myself where I'd have to stay that much hours. There were years when I put in 600 hours in a year.
Again, Denise Lanier. She explained the role the thrift shop plays in raising money for their philanthropic programs and how the league operates. The store has changed over the years, and so have their services.
We did used to clothe the children here. We brought in just specific clothing. The children came in and picked out from what we had to offer, as versus going, now we go to Kohl's and let them pick their own clothing out and Target and do the same. And it works much better that way because they have more of a choice. Before, it was more like, well, if someone would see them in school, they would know where they got their clothing because it was all the same. So that's worked out much better for us.
How do the students come to you? How does the system work?
We are now actually online, where the families get notified online when they sign their kids up for school. There's an app that takes them directly to Operation School Bell, and that's where they can sign up, and they're signed up according to their income. If they don't qualify for the income, then they do not qualify to come and be dressed.
And what school districts do you serve, or what areas do you serve?
Temecula, Murrieta, Wildomar, Lake Elsinore, Romoland, Canyon Lake, and Menifee.
How big is your membership, and do you have an auxiliary as well?
We have the Assistines, that's our defined auxiliary, and they are at 51 members right now, but they just got through with a year of losing seniors, so now it'll build back up, and they're usually over 100 by mid-year.
And what do the teens do?
Well, they're 7th grade through 12th grade, and they have their own programs, their own philanthropic programs, but they also assist us, and we try and mold them together, you know, so we're each helping each other. But they have their own board, and they have their own meetings every month, and they're quite, I've learned a lot from them just attending their meetings and how they keep control of the meetings by putting the cell phones in the middle of the table. And when everybody's talking too much, she does the old first grade routine of Assistines, clap once. And they clap, and then they're all quiet. I found that very interesting to see.
We might try that at some of our meetings with the adults.
I've thought about it. I really have.
And then how strong or how large is your league?
Over 200. That includes our voting members, our community volunteers, and our Assistines.
Now, I want to ask, I brought stuff today to donate, and I want to know how I'm going to do it.
Okay, well, it's normally brought to our back double doors in the back of the shop. And if you want to do that, I can be the one to greet you when you bring it in, and I'll show you where it goes.
I wanted to do just that, so I did. I donated boxes of purses, clothes, and shoes to the thrift shop. I was happy to contribute to this organization that has supported the community the past 30 years in so many ways. Denise shared why she's so dedicated to the Assistance League's mission.
My go-to slogan is, we put the sparkle back in a child's eyes. And that, to me, that says it all. I get goosebumps at every single Operation School Bell dressing we do, because when they come to that first table and they have to explain their situation and their income level, you hear a lot of heartwarming stories when that happens. And it just, and then you see them, they have their bags as they're leaving the store, and they're just running out of there so excited. Some have never even been in a Kohl's department store or a Target, you know. Some of them have never had a new pair of shoes. So that's where it gets me every time.
The Assistance League Thrift Shop of the Temecula Valley Chapter is open Monday through Saturday. Donations are accepted. To learn more about the Assistance League of Temecula Valley, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on Today's Show. That's our show for today. If you'd like to hear any of our past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. You can also listen to Lifestyles on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. Search for Lifestyles with Lillian Vasquez on your streaming service and take the show on the go. Thanks to all who helped to make this show possible, including Sharina Wadd, David Fleming, Sean Houlihan, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Our theme music is provided by Ethan Bortnick. Thanks for listening. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez.